We're going to lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I guess we could call it the Trilogy, Oregon men and women's basketball, plus a little football with Washington in town. He's the fine beat writer for the Register Guard. You can catch his work in the sports section. The new one, DuckSports.com, RegisterGuard.com on Twitter. The handle at @SteveMims_RG. Steve Mims, how are you?
I'm good. If I'd have known you were at the bar today, I might have come over there and hung out with you in person.
Yeah, you know, my bad. I should have actually thought of that, but that would have taken some vision and looking into the future. And, Steve, at this point, I'm pretty much going hour to hour.
Probably a little early, so we just started drinking anyway, so that's good.
There's about 15 people in here that would disagree. But anyway, so it was Pac-12 Media Day, both programs. You were down in the Bay Area, and I thought the title of your piece about Kelly Graves, where it says, Ducks enjoy role as Pac-12 favorite. I mean, you think about, they made the surprise run to the Elite Eight. Last year, expectations were high, and they delivered. Is it safe to say that this coach, this team, these players, they're just comfortable with who they are, and they don't shy away when people ask about accomplishing big things?
Yeah, it's funny. Kelly Graves sent me a note on Twitter, and I sent him back and said, it seemed like you actually enjoyed Media Day. And his response was, I did. So, you know, I think in particular for women's basketball, you know, they don't get as much attention as the men. So I think sometimes when you've accomplished a lot, you kind of want to get a chance to be out there and have people lauding you and kind of tell you they appreciate what you've done. So, but yeah, this team certainly, you know, with Sabrina and Ruthie and Kelly there, it was certainly three people that felt pretty comfortable in their own skin that day.
You know, we've seen a lot of great players here at Oregon all through the variety of sports. Some have been comfortable with the media. Guy like Marcus Mariota understood it came with the territory. But it seems to me with Sabrina, accurate to say as much as anyone, she really gets it and kind of embraces that role, not only as an elite player, but as the major face of the program.
Yeah, no, I think so for sure. I think certainly she's probably did a bunch of media even back in high school to see how big of a recruit she was. And I'm sure she probably, by the time she got here, she'd probably done more interviews than most college players do by the time they leave college. So, yeah, I would say she definitely seems like you said, comfortable in the role as kind of the face of the program and knows the questions are coming and, you know, pretty prepared to answer.
As far as the men go, also chosen to win the conference, I think 16 of the 25 ballots. On our show yesterday, I said pretty much the quote from Dana Altman. I mean, you look at Wooten, Pritchard, Paul White, some recruits. But, you know, the rest of the conference with a lot of questions. So it might sound kind of cold, but is there any logic to people who are like, well, we know the most about them. They're kind of almost a default pick.
Yeah, and I think the fact that Oregon, you know, last year they finished sixth, but other than that, they've kind of traditionally finished in the top three or four even when people hadn't picked them there. So I think one thing is the media's probably getting tired of picking them low and then been proven wrong. So I think Dana's track record has them up near the top. You know, Arizona doesn't return anybody from last year. UCLA lost guys from, you know, lost kind of the big names in terms of Welsh and Holiday. So, yeah, I think it was, you know, the fact that four teams got voted on, which is twice as many as the last couple of years, so I think it shows a little bit more unpredictable, and maybe people didn't really know what to expect this year.
You know, I saw your piece from Tuesday. You talked about how you viewed the upcoming season, and you've gone against the grain in recent years, and I mentioned the Ducks were the consensus, but tell me what your trifecta was, you know, your top three teams, and what made you put them in that order.
Well, I'm Washington just because, and I think I wrote this, I may be a slave to experience, but they've got their top seven scores back from last year. And that team last year, you know, went totally surprised. Everybody went 10-8 in the conference almost. You know, they beat Kansas, almost got in the NCAA tournament. So when you have a resume like that and you got everybody back, that to me just made the most sense as the favorite. And I had Oregon second. Again, just my thing with Oregon is the fact that Lewis King, we don't know when he's going to be ready to go. And I think they're counting on him for a lot. But I think if he can't go early in the season or if he's not at full strength as they get in the conference play, that can hold them back a little bit. And then I think I probably had Arizona State or UCLA third. I can't remember exactly. But, again, ASU lost the three seniors. That brings everybody else back. UCLA, people forget, they had two really good recruits last year who got arrested in China and had to sit out the season. So they got kind of two bonus recruits, even though they lost two guys from this year.
Another side note as we continue with Steve Mims of the Register Guard, Larry Scott, the commissioner. So he's there to kick off the season. It's supposed to be like a celebration of the conference. And lo and behold, we get the Yahoo report. It says that maybe a third party intervened during a key review of a targeting call a couple of weeks back in football. So what did he say not only about that story, about the fact that they're acknowledging it and making changes immediately?
Yeah, he did come out and said, you know, that he wasn't aware of it, but basically the guy who kind of oversees football was overseeing replay too and was kind of calling in and making some recommendations and stuff. And you know, the problem with that is obviously that it just looks like, you know, and that was a pretty, you know, the targeting call would have led to the WSU linebacker's ejection, but there's just a look there that if the conference feels like, hey, it would be better for this team to win than the other one, we can call in and make a change. And even if that doesn't happen, just the perception that it could was really the PR nightmare that Larry dealt with 2 nights ago when that story came out. So he came out and called it a mistake and said they were not going to allow anybody but the replay officials to make replay decisions anymore.
Let's get to football. You've been covering sports in this town for a fair amount of time. You know, Washington Week always had a little extra jolt. But as weird as it sounds, kind of like since the turn of the century, you know, their visit was lacking because either they were struggling last 2 years, Oregon, I guess you could say, was limited. So, you know, you get out there with what you write, your comments on Twitter, social media, the things you observe. Are you at least feeling the rivalry buzzes back?
Yeah, I think so, but, you know, more because it's just two good teams. You know, I think it could be Washington State, and if it was, you know, top 20 team against the top 10, I think there'd be the excitement there. So add in the fact that certainly the Washington and the Oregon fans don't like each other, it adds a little bit more. But I think it's a rivalry because both teams are in the top 20 this year, and it's been a little while since we can say that.
A couple final thoughts for Steve Mims of the Register Guard. While they were less than dominating against Cal, particularly against the run, seems the Duck defense has gone from atrocious to improved to really good so far this year. I mean, you hear from defensive coordinator Jim Leavitt, you observe the guys, be it depth, or other attributes. What kind of stands out to you that you like about this Oregon defense so far this year?
I think they got more playmakers than they've had in the past. I think in the past, you know, maybe felt like there was a Troy Dye out there, but that was kind of the only guy you had to run away from, the three of the team. I think Hollins and Amati emergence this year, both seniors to go with Dye and Jelks. That's three seniors and one junior, and basically your veteran guys on defense are your best guys, and they've just been playmakers. And I think that's what in the past, like I say, maybe Oregon had one or two, but they didn't have a playmaker at kind of each spot on the field on defense.
And lastly, I know this might sound simple, and I think in a collision-oriented sport like football, all buys come at a good time. But with Washington having been on the road last week, and be it Tony Brooks-James or Breland coming back, is it logical to just like the timing of the Oregon buy and the fact that the coaches now know they pretty much have their full complement of players at their disposal?
Yeah, I think if you could pick a buy, you'd want it the week before your biggest game, you know, which, I mean, this is the only top 10 team Oregon's going to face this year. So I do think it works well. And that said, you know, there were a lot of talk that Cal 2 weeks ago, you know, was ranked, and they were coming off a bye when Oregon came in. And you couldn't see much of that. And now Washington State's got a bye this week before Oregon next. And so Oregon's going to be on the other end of it a couple times. But, yeah, I think if you ask, I think most coaches, A, you like having the bye in the middle of the season just because it kind of gives the guys a chance to rest in the middle. And, B, I think you just want to have more time to prepare for the toughest opponent on the schedule.
All right, folks, he's Steve Mims, this week's Swiss Army knife of Oregon sports coverage in the sports section, registerguard.com, ducksports.com, at @Steve_Mims_RG on Twitter. Steve, always appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing you upstairs tomorrow.
Sounds good, Steve. We'll see you there.
All right, take it easy.